The Bible is funny.
Well, hello again, the Bible is Funny podcast family, and welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast, where we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And it's just been a great run of podcasts we're on. Thank you so much to everybody who has reached out through the Instagram. If you're not following on Instagram, it's at the Bible is Funny. Thank you to everybody who sends messages in. Lets me know what you think. Lets me know what episodes you liked, especially if you didn't like an episode. Make sure you reach out and tell me that. You know, we need that feedback as well to balance everything out. But we have been on a fun run of podcasts here, especially with guests. We have been on a great run of guests, and I'm very excited about the guest we have on the podcast with us today. I couldn't be more excited to introduce this person to you. You probably already know them, honestly. You think you know them. Ooh, there's a good tease. You think you know this guest, but you don't. Who I have on the podcast with me, family, is... It's Christians who curse sometimes.
Yes.
is how he's known on the interwebs. I'll start here. You are anonymous on the page.
I like to stay anonymous, yes, and for a lot of reasons. But it's weird because I'm talking to you face to face, so we can see each other. So I'm not that anonymous to you, but even I think people should know you don't know anything about me other than seeing my face. Like I don't think you know my real name. I don't think I've told you that. Have I?
I have a guess that I'm not going to say right
okay.
now, but I'm almost certain it's Jermaine.
Close. No, it's so interesting because I started off being anonymous, kind of just casually about it, but then it actually became important to me, and not so much for me, but also for my family as well. I don't have delusions that I'm some like celebrity that's going to get stopped in the streets or anything like that. But when you talk about the topics that I talk about, and you share some like really fiery and spicy comments from people and that sort of thing, I need to protect myself from people in my life constantly bringing these things up with me. Like when you talk about something super controversial in the Christian world, then I want to be able to turn it on and turn it off at my own pace. I want to talk about it on this page. I want to talk about it with my wife. But when I'm out with my friends, I don't want to hear them say, "Oh my gosh, I saw what you posted on that meme page that you run. I have to tell you my opinion." You know, I just kind of want to keep it to what it is and kind of be able to control it. And this is my little way to kind of control the content and how it runs in my life.
That makes sense. I get it. I totally get that. I'm going to just update the listeners on a couple things. So what we're going to do for this interview is we are going to refer to you as Mike. Mm-hmm. We're going to say this is Mike. Mike runs Christians Who Curse Sometimes. And so, yeah, let's back up a little bit because you do. You are a spicy Chick-fil-A sandwich. you are nonstop spice. Why did this start? Why did this page start? When did it start? Talk me through the origins of Christians Who Curse Sometimes.
You know, it's so crazy because I made the page totally out of boredom. There are people who spend so much time thinking up an idea and like workshopping it and putting all this thought into it. I was literally sitting at my old job one day and I kind of laughed at the name. I was like, "Oh, that'd be funny. I should do a meme page. I'd be funny doing memes." And I literally just made it one morning and I made a whole bunch of awful, awful, awful memes. Like I look back at them and cringe. Anyone who takes time to scroll way back, they were so awful. But I made them, I posted them. I had a couple followers. And I was kind of riding that wave of just like having four or five people who found my stuff funny. And I just kept posting every day and it just kind of wasn't going anywhere. But the funny thing is, I don't really curse in my real life. Like that's why I didn't tell my wife about it right away. Cause it was it was a spur of the moment thing. And I told her about it probably a week or so after, cause it was just something I did at work and I just didn't even think to tell her. So I showed it to her. And she goes, "This doesn't make sense. You don't curse. Why would you call it that?" And It's funny because, not to get too serious too quickly, but let's get a little serious here. Cursing, oh, yeah. Cursing is such a fascinating issue to me for Christians. I've said this in other interviews too. It's something we so quickly judge people on, but that we tend to slip up on ourselves. Like if I was out somewhere and I heard somebody cursing a lot, it's crazy. I wish I didn't do it, but you almost assume that they're not a Christian right away or that they don't love Jesus. Mm. And if somebody overheard me cursing somewhere, I would never want them to get that impression of me. I would never want that kind of thing. I would hope that they could show some grace and be like, maybe he does, maybe he's just having a rough day, something like that. And that's kind of where the idea came from. Because my wife told me one time, we joined a new church when we moved at one point. And she told me we were driving home from meeting the pastor. She was like, I love that he's a pastor where if I were to mess up and curse in front of him, I wouldn't feel judged right away. And I was like, isn't that just the essence of Christianity? And I love that, where it's like, if someone messes up, if someone's having a hard time, you just totally come at it with grace and loving them first and not coming at them with judgment. Like, ooh, you shouldn't have said that word there. It's yeah. about treating them like Jesus would and just seeing them as a whole, completely loved being of that God created and not as somebody who constantly messes up. Right. And that's kind of where the idea came from. And I got a lot of hate for it in the beginning. Like, people kept saying, like, why would you say it's okay to curse? I'm like, nowhere on my page does it say that. I actually personally don't think it's okay to curse. I realize people disagree with me, and that's fine. I don't do it. I don't think it's fine. I hope my kids have a good moral compass around swearing someday. But it's not. It's something that I just wouldn't say is okay. So it's funny that people got that impression, because the idea from the name is more around grace. You can Right. take out curse sometimes and just put in Christians who mess up. And that's kind of what the idea is. Christians who blank sometimes, put anything in there that anyone might struggle with, and that's what the page is. Are you thinking of something inappropriate? You
just well, Christians who blank sometimes would kind of get us to the same place. So, but no, you know, that's one of doesn't
either. Yeah, but that's kind of where the name came from and the idea came from. It was from a good place. People didn't really get it right away, but I think they get it now.
Yeah, they never do on the internet.
No.
You know, it's funny you say that too, because one thing that I thought was so genius about the name, and I want to even pause here and land this, because if you're not already following Christians Who Curse Sometimes on Instagram, you've got to follow them right now. Like, you pause, go follow, and then rejoin, because it is this an incredible account to be following right now for so many reasons that I want to get into. But the title I want to hang on to for a second, because to me the genius of it is, I've been a Christian my whole life. A lot of my friends, like, Christians who curse to me are like, that's the top tier in my book. Mm-hmm. I love this community of Christians who curse. I'm not saying all the time. I'm not saying, what, like you said, you don't want to come out and make a statement on cursing, but a Christian who curses to me is someone who has come through stages of their faith. They've come yep. probably through a judgmental phase, and they're on the other side of it. And now yep. they're like, you know what? Sometimes I get to this point of frustration, and this is what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that was the genius of the name for me, is I was like, that's a community right away I want to be a part of. When I hear the name Christians Who Curse Sometimes, I want in there. And I'm actually the same. I don't curse. All of my friends give me the hardest time for it. And in some ways, I don't know if you feel this way at all. It's because I'm like 32 and I haven't cursed at this point. Exactly. And I don't feel like I'd be any good at it. I feel like I would be saying all the words wrong. Like I think I'd have to be starting from scratch. And that's part of the reason why I don't.
You know what's crazy? So I grew up in kind of the typical, like, shame-based Christian American household. And my parents, for whatever reason, like, cursing was just the most awful thing to them. Like, it was just, I never, ever heard them swear, even accidentally. And same with all of my aunts and uncles. Like, I was raised surrounded by Christian authority figures that I just never heard it at home. So it's so crazy to think like this, but I don't think I actually swore until maybe I was a junior in high school. And I remember it was accidental, and I said the F word, and it was while repeating a story that somebody had told me. Like, I said, oh, and then the person said, F that. But I actually said the word. And I remember the guilt that I felt in even repeating that. And it stuck in my head all day. The fact that I still remember in my head where I was sitting when that moment happened is so crazy to me, because to some people, it's just like it's a non-issue to them. But the way I was raised, it was such a huge issue to me. And now I've come around a little bit. I'm a little more relaxed. I'm not as rigid. Like, I was a very black and white Christian where, like, if I heard somebody cursing, I was that one. It was like, they can do better. They're probably not a good Christian then. Mm. They can improve because of how I was raised. And the whole idea of this page is not being like that. Not that that's an awful way to be, but there's a kind of, like, Christians have the impression of being super judgmental. And I hate that we have that impression.
No, not I hate, Christians, Mike.
But I hate that impression so much, because it's not, it shouldn't be at all. That should be the last thing of a list of adjectives that describe Christians. Judgmental should be at the bottom. Mm. And it actually, like, hurts my heart that that's something that Christians are. And that's kind of what I do with my page, is try to, like, tell Christians, like, relax, calm down, we can laugh at ourselves, we can talk about things, and we can still be okay. We can still be followers of Christ while laughing at ourselves, and by having these hard conversations, and by talking with people who disagree with us. It's okay. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's all build a community together. It can happen.
Mm. Yeah, so talk to me a little bit through that progression. You said you start posting memes. That's what I heard you say about the origins of the page. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. It's a funny name. I'm going to put some memes on it. When did all of the conversational based, at that point, were you thinking, I want to start some good conversations in the stories? Or did that kind of grow with the page over time?
No, it was actually interesting, because I ran the page for probably a month or two, and it really wasn't getting anywhere. It had like a couple hundred followers and was really stuck there. And I actually got laid off from my job. This is pre-COVID, not when, like, being laid off was cool and everybody got laid off. I got laid off from my job, and I was super bummed, because I had a job that I loved. And I know that that's a very rare thing. And I lost that job, and I was so bummed. And, like, I didn't know what I was going to do in my life at that point. I really had to start over. And I let the page sit there. I stopped posting. I didn't do anything on it for probably 2 months. Like, it just kind of sat there. And I thought, it's not worth it. Like, what is it going to be? It was a silly idea at work, whatever. It was a fun idea at the time. And then, like, kind of as I would see funny Christian content, or as I would think of an idea, I would post it. It was kind of like a side thing. Maybe once a week, every other week, I'd think up an idea, and I would get a pat on the back of like 10 likes, and then be like, okay, good, that was funny. It was almost like my random thought journal.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the time when it blew up was the godfather of memes, Petty Christian Memes, I like to call him, because I had a conversation with him, and he's just like one of the most incredible, like, man of God that I've met, like,
really
ever. Like, he just has such a way of, like, talking with people and getting to know people. And he took the time to get to know me and kind of said, like, hey, your stuff is good. And I really didn't feel like it was, which was funny. Like, I just thought, when I started the page, I thought, nobody's ever going to follow this because of the name. Nobody in ministry is ever going to follow it because of the name. Nobody's going to share my stuff because of the name. Like, everything was holding it back in my head. And I never thought it would be in a place where people would be comfortable. I was like, maybe they'll share it privately, but they're not going to share anything publicly. And if they do, it'll be a really small amount of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just had this great conversation with me. He really encouraged me. And when he started getting involved is when things really started to pick up, and I started seeing a difference and people starting to follow. And that's when people started sending me messages saying, oh my gosh, I finally feel normal. Like, I finally feel like I've found a Christian page that makes me feel normal. Because the unfortunate thing about Christianity too is there's this standard of perfection that's unspoken that I really don't like. Nobody will admit it. But when you walk into a church, there's almost this comparison that happens with people in the room, this weird standard that we all set as a community that's awful but unspoken. And
we wouldn't say it was there. Even if you asked us, we would say, no, come as you are.
Exactly.
All imperfections welcome. Yeah, yeah.
But there's this weird underbelly of, like, people who just say, like, yes, I mess up, and I wish I could just say it and no one would judge me. And I think that's kind of where it came from, was the type of things I was posting were just memes at that point, were kind of alluding to that, of like, hey, it's okay, you messed up, and that's okay, was kind of the idea. And it just kind of went from there. People started messaging me saying, like, oh my gosh, I finally feel normal. I never thought Christians did this, because I didn't grow up in a super, super conservative, like, Christian denomination. Definitely on the conservative side, but there are people who grow up, you know, fundamentalist or things like that, where it's very, very, like, they all believe one thing, and it's our way or the highway kind of thing. I think a lot of amazing people can thrive out of those things, but there's a lot of harm that can be done in those too. And a lot of people in that world were messaging saying, like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one who had a mental health issue.
Wow.
And when you hear that, it breaks my heart. Like, I was glad that I was able to give them even just a silly meme that says, like, you're not alone. And when I got all those messages, I was like, it really encouraged me to kind of keep going with it. Like, people are finding a hope in this thing, where I thought it would be a silly, funny meme page where I was just going to make a couple people laugh. Now people were actually finding a serious hope in that. And I didn't know what to do with kind of that juxtaposition of feelings of, like, it's funny, but people are actually finding actual help here.
Yeah. So then how does that, that's what I remember about your account earlier on, was you started doing these things that, like, a lot of me and my friends do, or we have done, like, experience these things. You were calling them out and it was great. But did that just start then becoming these conversations in the story? Did you say, because you ask, if you don't follow Christians Who Curse Sometimes, like, in there's two parts of the show. There's two parts of the show ongoing at all time. The feed is great. I don't know how you find what you find for the feed. I honestly, you posted a Christian movie the other day with a grail, and I have no idea how you find this stuff, man.
We need to pause and talk about that movie for a second, because it's a movie called Miracle Man. And if anybody ever wants to just sit and watch one of the most awful pieces of Christian media that's ever been made, I'm going to tell you, the whole movie is on YouTube, start to finish, and I found it, and I felt like I struck gold when I found that thing. It has the worst graphics, it has the worst writing, the worst acting. Everything is just awful about it, to the point where it's laughable. It's a movie. The idea is okay. It's like, what if Jesus came today, like in today's culture? And like the temptation of Christ happens in Vegas, because it's supposed to be a desert. So it happens in Vegas, sure, on a rooftop of a casino, and the devil's like a wolf that comes. It's just the most bizarre movie. And you can literally click to any moment on YouTube, and it will just make you crack up laughing. Like, the guy's name is JC, so they call him JC.
From NSYNC, yeah.
It's just hysterical. So, that was a little sidebar, but that will be the most entertaining thing you will find today, is look up, there's a lot of other Miracle Man movies, but try to find the one where it looks just like a cheap Wish.com version of Jesus, and it's the best. It's the best.
So you're posting that stuff. You had so much gold in the feed. So you're following you see these great posts, they're wonderful. In the stories, meanwhile, at the same time, which, by the way, my guest on this podcast today is one of the most high capacity people I've ever met in my life. Because while that's going on, he's putting out content regularly. That's great. He's in the stories tackling very controversial. Controversial is a word I would go to, but very topical, very relevant issues that sometimes people are starting them. Sometimes people, you'll post the message that sort of starts the conversation. Then you're fielding kind of both sides of the conversation. So how did that develop? Was that a plan that you were like, oh, here's an idea of how I can get people talking? Or did you stumble on that? How did you get there?
Not at all. It was total accidental. So here's the thing. I've struggled my whole life because I've done youth ministry, I've done young adult ministry, I've done children's ministries. I've kind of dabbled in all those as a volunteer. And I've never, ever, ever wanted to work for a church. I know that sounds crazy, but I just don't. I don't like church politics, all that stuff. I said, I am not called to ministry. I don't feel that call. I love volunteering. I get more out of it when I can show up and I don't get paid and I can just use my energy to genuinely help people. So I never felt like I was qualified to talk about any of those issues. Like, whenever it came time for somebody to speak at youth group and it was my turn, I really struggled with, like, giving my opinion on things and really researching and things like that. So it's so funny now that literally I spend every day talking about theological issues on Instagram, because it was not something that was ever on my radar. So the way it started was when I mentioned earlier, petty Christian memes kind of found me and promoted me a little bit. I got this whole new slew of followers. So I said, hey, I might as well do like an AMA or something just to like let people get to know me a little bit, since I had all these people. So I did it. And a lot of people were asking like the normal questions that you ask. But somebody asked me, if I remember right, it was my thoughts on Christians smoking pot. And they said, do you think Christians should be allowed to smoke pot? And I literally looked at the question. I'm pretty sure I showed it to my wife that night and said, why on earth would they care what some random person on Instagram thinks about Christians? Like, I'm not a pastor. I'm just some random Midwestern dude that had time on his hands and created an Instagram account. Why does my opinion hold any water to this guy? And so I just posted it on my story. I said, you know what? I'm not going to answer this. I'm going to let you guys answer this. If anyone has any thoughts on this, send it to me and I'll post them. So I did that. And then it just completely snowballed. Everybody said, well, can you do this topic tomorrow? What about this topic? And then it just kept going from there to the point where like I was just inundated with requests for topics. And at this point, I've been doing a topic a day for over a year. Every single day, I do something on my stories that's generally attached to a Christian topic. But I mean, I've done a lot of fun things too on the side, but every day I do something and 90% of them are some sort of heavy Christian topic. And like you said, I post both sides of it, which is very difficult for me because a lot of them like all feel strongly against. But I feel that it's so important because the one thing that's lacking in so many Christian spaces is comfortable, non-judgmental conversations. Like, I wish I could go into a church, sit in a circle with all the people I go to that church with, and someone bring up like politics and say like, what does everyone think about what's going on politically right now? And could you imagine living in a world where everybody could share their honest, genuine feelings, like how they feel? Like there's those, like when we talk about controversial, especially politics, there's the things you like say in a big group that's kind of watered down a little bit. But then there was those things you say like at home in your safe space where you're like, oh man, what I really wanted to say was ABCD. And how cool would it be to sit with your group of Christians, say how you really feel, and have everybody accept it and be like, hey, I disagree with you, but I want to hear more about that. You know, something like that. So that's kind of what I'm trying to foster because I never show who sent a message. I don't even give any descriptors. I just kind of post what someone said. And I want people who have never heard different sides of a theological debate to hear those. Because if I start only showing one side, my followers will follow that. And I'll only get people who are on one side of Christianity. Right. And if I go to the other side, then there's that same problem. I'm trying to keep it as even as possible because in social media, there's so many algorithms and things like that that basically just pat you on the back all day and say, hey, you're right. What you believe is right. Here's more people who agree with you. And that's good in a lot of ways, but also harmful in a lot of ways. Yeah. And we should be building spaces where we can hear somebody who disagrees with us completely on an issue, but we can hear them out and figure out why they believe that way, what led them to that belief, how they back it up scripturally, and then offer our opinion back and have a healthy conversation. And on my page, I try to do that. Like I said, it's very hard sometimes because I'll really disagree with something, but I'll post it anyway because I'm like, I need to hear it too. And frankly, there have been a lot of issues that my mind has changed about because I'll post it and be like, I thought it was going to be a totally one-sided issue, and then it's not. And I realize like it's more 50-50, and I go, whoa, this is crazy. I wasn't expecting this. And then I read the other side. I'm like, gosh, they have some kind of good points scripturally, but I was raised one way. I have my opinions because I was raised that way, and it's okay to expand yourself because it can either confirm what you believe and say like, you know what, I understand why they believe that. I just don't, and I actually believe that scripture means this. Right. Or it can say, like, maybe they're right, and I need to do some more research on that. And it's really, really important for Christians to do that because I just don't see it happening in a whole lot of churches with a whole lot of people of faith.
Yeah, and there's so many levels to that, of what you just unpacked. It's not even just the people hearing the other side, but it's sometimes on some of these issues, the other side being heard at all. Like it's, you are creating a space for someone to share a thought that there's probably a very good chance in their religious context, they can't even share this thought because the second you share it, like you were talking about cursing earlier, the second you bring this up, like an alternative side of an issue, it's like, well, this is your faith is lacking and you are falling apart, and it becomes all about you, not just you having a thought and an opinion, but you, the person. You have, like, everybody will think less of you immediately. Yeah.
And you know what? I'll tell you one story that I thought was really powerful to me was I did the issue of abortion, and it's something that a lot of churches will assume everybody believes one way or something like that. But I still wanted to foster the conversation, so I posted, I said, "What do you think? What do you think about abortion?" Mm-hmm. And one woman shared a story that. I'm so glad she sent this. And if she's listening, I would love for her to DM me so she knows how important this story was. But she said she had had an abortion before she was a Christian. And she became a Christian and completely regretted it. But because it's a part of her story, she goes, she had the most awful time meeting Christian women and getting involved in Christian women's groups. Because Christian women's groups... tend to use words like murder and homicide and things like that when it comes to abortion. And she was like, yeah. Why would I want to join a group if they're going to look at me as a murderer? Even though I wasn't a Christian, even though I know that I was wrong and that sort of thing, she goes, why would I want to be a part of a group where they're saying that? She goes, they generally have no idea that I had done that in a previous life, she said, but... it's really hurtful and makes me not want to be a part of a church because I can't find people who will say because she said she knows it's wrong, but she's like, I just want someone to like use kinder language with things like that and not feel like I'm a murderer when I walk into a building. And I was like, gosh, what a unique, amazing perspective that people need to hear. Yeah. And it's not about changing minds. It's not about saying this is right and this is wrong. It's just about hearing those stories that make you realize how much grace we need to have as Christians and how even just hearing one story can change how you interact with people from that moment on. And her story just impacted me so much, and it made me think about how I speak about a lot of topics and the language that I use and how it can turn people away from being Christ followers.
Mm. Yeah, man. I mean, like, that's so good. And another reason why I think what you're doing is so good and so important is even just acknowledging that these are other people on the other side, I think is something that in the rhetoric of today has been lost. Like, we just have our opinions on things, and everybody outside of those opinions is them, and it doesn't even matter. And yep. If nothing else, if you click through the stories on Christians Who Curse Sometimes, you will see the humanity that exists on the other side of the conversation. Like you just will hear stories. There's always stories like that. Thank you so much for sharing that. But on every topic, it seems like you might be just so far the other way, but you'll hear something that's like, wow, that's a person that has experienced this in this way. And they took the time to type this out, and you always do. I'm so curious from an outside perspective, just the role of anonymity on your page, because you have chosen to remain anonymous, and everything you share is shared anonymously. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that? It's interesting because I think there might be a opinion that is when people can share anonymously, it's nasty and hateful and. They say terrible things that they would never say in real life because they can share anonymously. Have you experienced more of that, or have you experienced more of people are like, oh, I can share whatever I want because I'm not going to get any sort of like judgment back?
Not at all. I don't want to pretend like I haven't had people be hateful. I've gotten a lot of very strong messages from a lot of people, especially when it comes to some of the more serious controversial issues. People believe very strongly and have a lot of passion and a lot of understandable emotion behind why they believe what they believe. Mm-hmm. And that when they see an opinion that's different, they can actually see it as hurtful personally. And I get that. I hear them. But it's amazing to me because when you actually let people be honest and actually let people say things and share things, it's usually not hateful. It's usually like, hey, like I even had somebody say, I did a race topic a couple weeks ago that I actually had somebody else kind of monitor because I'm a white man, so I didn't feel that it was right.
A clue.
I didn't feel that it was right for me to kind of lead that conversation, but I had people admit that they were racist and still struggle with racism. And I don't know that in many other forums, they have the ability to say like, hey, I struggle with this and I really need people to come alongside me and hold me accountable. I'm saying that that's okay, or that like it's okay to be racist and we need to just like put our arm around them and love them because they're racist. But I just think if people are genuinely trying to become better people and working to actually improve, there's something in the Christian realm that we should be able to look them in the eye. They should be able to understand that they're loved, but that they know in their heart that what they're doing is wrong, but they know that they can take those steps to improve without worrying about losing community, and then we can all grow together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I've said that in conversations with friends so much over the last couple years, is you have to have a space. The first step of making any change is accepting where you are right now. And on so many issues, we don't create the space for someone to just accept or state that they are where they are right now. Instead, we put them in a position that like they have to kind of pretend that they're not, even though everybody knows that they are, or something like that. You have to have that space. There's no way for people to change unless they can acknowledge that they are in a place that they need to change. And like you said, not feel like they're place in the community is threatened, which is so often the case in the church. The second,
yeah, and I don't want that to be just about the race issue, but it's about everything else. It's about every issue, because there are people who are just like, people message me all the time that they're scared to talk about issues either with their family or their friends or their church. A lot of it has to do with mental health and thoughts is a lot of what it kind of revolves around. People who think certain things and just feel like they want to get better, but they can't talk to anyone about it because Christians are going to judge them. And now this conversation's gone full circle again, like how Christians just should not have the impression of being judgmental at all. Right. And that's why, I mean, I just recently did on my stories, I like to do it every once in a while, where I let people just share their secrets. And I just say like, what's...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I just say, what's your secret that you haven't told anybody? And I get thousands of submissions from people. And it's amazing because I always have to tell people. People love to like look at it and laugh at it or things like that, or be like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But I always have to say, these are the people in your church. Like, these are, like, look at who's following this page. It's all Christians who follow this page for the most part. But these are the people that are sitting in the pews with you. And we don't have to look at them like they're dirty or look at them like they're disgusting because they've done this thing. But we need to understand that we're not the only ones who struggle. Other people do too. Mm-hmm. And if we start taking steps to opening up about those things, then we can all heal together instead of holding each other to this unreachable goal of perfection.
Yeah. And I think it's another thing that's so great from what's going on in the stories at your page is that those are the people in your church. Those are the people. So there's, even if you maybe haven't experienced this in person, I feel like it changes the way you interact with your own church, because you should see, you know, from this just one example, there are people that think all kinds of ways inside of your own church. And you can definitely start to feel like you're an outsider. It's easy to feel like you're alone or you're an outsider or no one else is going through this. No one else has ever gone through this. And what I feel like your page proves time and time and time again is whatever it is you're going through, there's people that have been through it. There's people that are currently in it. There's people that will go through it after you. There's just, there's so much community in whatever season, whatever spot you're in.
Yeah. The one thing I like to tell people when they share, especially with a lot of the more shame covered issues in the church, which tend to be things about mental health or sex, tend to be the things that people feel more shame that they don't want to talk about. When they share that with me, I love to tell them, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, when they share and they say like, hey, I'm getting better, I'm still working on it, I always say, you're going to change lives someday. Because while you're in it right now, in 10 years, somebody else is going to be in your spot and you're going to be able to be that person for them.
Yeah.
Where you're going to be able to tell them like, hey, I've been there, buddy. Come with me. I'll help you out. I'll give you all the advice you need. I'll tell you what it was like for me. Whether or not that works for you, at least you're not alone. There's that kind of thing that is literally sitting in church but people are too afraid to talk about issues right. to take advantage of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of sharing secrets, I just want, for those listening at home, here's what we have unpacked about the secret identity of Christians who curse sometimes. He is a Midwestern white man whose name may or may not involve Mike.
Yep. Start Googling. See if you can find me.
The search is on
right.
for Christians who curse sometimes. Okay. Well, I want to ask you just kind of one more question here, and just any thought you have here is welcome. But just, is there any, I guess, what has surprised you the most as you've been going in these conversations? Is there anything that's jumped out at you that was either surprising? I know you said, like, on some topics you've softened or come more towards the middle on different topics, but is there anything else just in general that surprised you about the conversations you're fostering?
I mean, I'll talk in a general and more specific sense. In general, I'm actually shocked at how open Christians actually are towards having these difficult conversations. Because what I've found is the more controversial the topic, the more people want to talk about it. Hmm. And that just shows me how much the Christian community is craving that conversation because their church is either scared to have it or doesn't know how to have it. I don't know what that answer is. But when I talk about the things that we're not hearing about on Sunday mornings, that's when I get the highest interaction, the most people who, I mean, I even get people saying, I don't know what I think about this. I can't wait to hear what other people think.
Yeah, and it that's me, Mike.
And it makes me happy that they have kind of an outlet to learn, but it also makes me sad that they're not finding that because, you know, one of the only people who knows that I run this page outside of my wife is my pastor because I wanted some sort of spiritual guidance when I reach an issue that I don't know much about. He kind of helps me out. And he kind of helps guide me in that. And I lost my train of thought here.
When you get to more controversial issues, has he stepped in and offered guidance on any of those? Because yes. You don't like take a side, so he just kind of where's he helping speak into that?
Yeah, no, he just kind of tells me and guides me because you know I'm a member of a denomination, and he kind of helps guide me towards. I always worry that I'm going to share something that's hurtful to somebody, or I'm going to share something that's not biblical. Like, because there are a lot of people who can twist scripture however they want, and I feel guilty sometimes if I share something that could be that and actually hurt somebody. But I've always been surprised at how open people are and that even if they disagree with something, they're willing to message me and even say, man, I've never thought about this, but this sounds crazy. Like, you know, things like that where it's just kind of relaxed and fun. And I think that's what surprised me is most people have that attitude. And even the people who have a very strong belief are open to hearing the other side too, regardless of what side of the debate that they're on. I love talking about the super heavy stuff. I can't do that all the time. I like giving people breathers. We do fun stuff on my page too. We do matchmaking and Q&As, and we do friend matchmaking and we do funny topics too. But the controversial stuff is what I love, and I wish I could do that every day. But I know people would get exhausted and probably frustrated by having to read serious, heavy stuff all day. I'm trying to think of what some of the topics were that surprised me. I've said this on other podcasts, but the one that shocked me was masturbation because I was raised, like I said, in kind of a more shame-based American household where I was just taught that that's wrong 100% of the time. And I was expecting when I posted that poll for it to be like 95% of people think it's wrong and 5% think it's right. And then when I posted it, it was right in the middle, 50-50. And wow. I was like, what on earth? And I started reading the responses and I was like, oh, I see where these people are coming from. And I was really surprised because and that made me feel the importance of what I'm doing because I was like, if this is what's happening for me and I feel like I've been exposed to a lot of different Christian viewpoints, I can't imagine what it must feel like for somebody who's either new to the faith or has a lot of assumptions about Christians and that they're seeing kind of the diversity within Christianity and being encouraged by that is really, really cool. And I hope people can see that more instead of just seeing what the reputation that Christians have out there.
Right. Yeah, it is so encouraging. I think when somebody like you is doing what you're doing with your platform, it reminds me a little bit of the conversation going out on around preachers and sneakers right now. Like it's like you started a conversation about this thing, and it's just like, wow, people were ready to talk about this. Like, here come the thoughts because they were like close to the surface, and so I'm just so appreciative of you fostering those conversations.
Yeah, and the sex topics. It's so crazy because those are the ones that people are going nuts for and that they want to talk about. And I felt so strange at first. I'm so glad. Like now I work with Dr. Corey, who's a Christian sex therapist. And
Dr. Corey.
And now he works with me on a regular basis and answers questions for people. But whenever I post like, hey, send me your questions on sex, my inbox is just overloaded with stuff. And the thing that's most encouraging to me is I hear from single people, single men and women after the fact, and they say, hey, I was told, like a lot of Christians were in youth group, that you wait for sex, and then when you get married, you have sex, and it's great, and it's fun. And there is so much nuance to that topic, and so many issues that come up in marriage because of that it's really cool to me to see people who feel comfortable asking those tough questions of a random Instagram page. But then when I post something that seems like super specific or a crazy question or something like that, and other people say like, wow, I was afraid to ask this, but my husband and I deal with this too, or my wife and I deal with this too. It's really cool because I don't see very many other avenues for those types of conversations. Because Christians are, but when it comes to sex, they're very much like, sex is bad, wait until marriage and then it's good. Yeah. And that's the extent of Christian sex education. And that can cause a lot of damage when you leave it that shallow, because it's all over the Bible. There's a whole book of the Bible that talks about, that's so graphic. I think back in the day, they wouldn't let people even read Song of Songs unless they were 18.
Till they were a certain age, right.
And now kids can read it, but it's just nuts to me that there's a whole book of the Bible about it, but it's talked about 0% of the time. And I understand why. That's the thing. I understand why pastors are like, I just don't know how we talk about this on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I think that's an okay question to ask and for churches to start answering is, how do we talk about it in a healthy way? Do we offer classes? Should we offer more conversations that are 18 plus? Do we, like, how do we have those conversations now? Because there are a lot of Christians in this big growing deconstruction community that are saying, like, we were hurt by purity culture, so in my opinion, they throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
They say, like, so all of Christianity must be wrong. And that really breaks my heart because I went through that exact same thing. I got that same message. I saw all those, like, now when I think back, I think about how hurtful some of those examples were that they gave of people. Like, you know, when you have sex, you're a damaged rose or like a stained water, like all those things that we got as teenagers.
Right.
That, like, I still get messages on my page, and it hurts me to read them, from women who say, like, hey, I had sex with my boyfriend. How am I ever going to get married? I'm like, oh my gosh. It's just so hard for people to not understand grace and what that is in other people. And so it's been very helpful to see people kind of learning from that in that really practical way. Of like, it's not just like a pray about it answer.
Right.
It's actually giving a practical answer, because I haven't heard that in any church in my life, period.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. And it's so true. I'm glad you brought this up. Like, yeah, there's a whole book in the Bible that talks in some explicit details and imagery about sex.
Very explicit detail.
There's so much about a lot of the topics you cover in the Bible. And one thing I've noticed and has been kind of the basis of my project is not only are there topics in culture that we will sort of shy away, there's parts of the Bible that we will shy away from because we don't really want to talk about it. We really don't know what to make of it. There's whole seemingly like whole books that people are like, yeah, we're not going to really teach out of that.
But that's
much.
Why, in my opinion, people need to lean into that uncomfortable feeling and be like, right. Why is it uncomfortable to me? Why are we avoiding it? Why is it weird? And kind of lean into that. And then when you lean into that, you can start finding answers, because you don't find answers from ignoring things. It's the same thing as like when people talk about politics and they just want to ignore people that are different from them. Mm. You don't learn anything from living that life. You don't learn anything from shutting yourself in your room from opinions that are different than yours. It's the same thing with the Bible. You don't learn anything from saying, I don't get this, so thus it doesn't exist to me. I'm not going to spend any time in it. And we need to start leaning into the things that confuse us. I tell people all the time, pastors are more than willing to sit with you. I would venture to say every pastor is more than willing to sit with you and answer your weird question about that weird part of the Bible that you don't understand.
That's right.
And they are willing to walk you through it and tell you, here's what it means, here's what it is. They're trained in that, but people are so afraid that they say, I don't get it, thus Christianity is bad, thus I'm out.
Yeah.
And we really, as Christians, need to stop pretending like we know it all and start asking questions of friends, family, mentors, pastors, anybody we can.
Yeah. And finding avenues to have those discussions. You brought this point up, and I think it's so great. Like, yes, you might say, yeah, it's hard to teach on that on a Sunday morning. It's hard to teach on that in front of a large group. That's you may be 1,000% right. But you've got to find the other avenue then. Like, if people are dumping this stuff to anonymous Midwestern Mike on on Instagram, you got to start to make ramps for these conversations, because they want to have them. And you're right. Maybe Sunday morning isn't the time or place. I totally could concede that. But I think as the especially American Christianity finds its footing moving forward, we got to find, where are those avenues then, and how do we better navigate them?
I desperately hope that someday I get zero interaction when I post a story, because people are like, hey, I hear about this enough in my church. Yeah. I don't need to talk about it here. Like, I don't think, like, my page is not an excuse for church. It's not a church. It's not a place to get filled. Like, you need to find community in your own place. And that's what my pastor also advised, is he's like, I hope people aren't treating your page like church. And I said, I hope they're not too, because this can be an additive. It's like getting a book or reading a blog or something like that. It's a way to find out more about faith, but you absolutely need to be involved in your community and find that place that you can benefit from and also use your gift and talents to give to as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, you know, what we do here on the Bible is Funny podcast is we talk about funny stories of the Bible and what we can learn from them. So that's what we're going to do. I would like to, if you're willing, is to lean in maybe to one of these stories that we're talking about. And I wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite kind of funny story in the Bible? Is there a story, a particular story in the Bible jumps out at you?
I do, but I'm worried that someone's already told it. I wish I knew. I wish you sent me ahead of time. Like, here are ones that people have said in the past, because there's one that I think is so bizarre and so funny, and I didn't hear it until later in life when I think I was a senior in high school, and one of our Sunday school teachers was doing, like, weird stories of the Bible that you probably haven't heard.
Okay.
I thought was really cool. And the story of Ehud. Have people done that one here?
I think we maybe did it a long time ago, but it is a great story.
That story just completely, like, blew my mind on the Bible, and I didn't believe that it was as specific as it was until I actually went and read. So for those who don't know, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong on the details, but basically Ehud was a guy who, or a warrior who brought a sword. His intention was to kill the king,
yep.
Right? And he went in there and said, hey, I have a message from God. Asked all the, like, guards to leave. So it's a private message from God, so you guys got to go. It's just for me and him. And then when they shut the doors, he stabs the king in the stomach, and it mentions that the king was super obese. And it was, the king was so overweight that his fat wrapped around the handle of the sword, and they weren't able to get it back out. But they also mentioned that his bowels emptied. I don't know why they have to get so detailed on that part of the story. But anyway, the twist of the whole story is, so Ehud leaves, and then the guards, who should be running in thinking something's wrong, hearing him wail on the throne in pain, don't go in because they think he's pooping.
He's using the
they think he's using the bathroom. So the other thing that's crazy to me about that story is it says they waited to go in there until it was an embarrassingly long amount of time, which I'm like, it made me imagine, like, what on earth could their conversations have been? Like, hey, man, you think he's done yet? Like, it's just so crazy to me. And then they go in and see him dead. Like, it's so weird and so mind-boggling, and I couldn't believe that I hadn't heard that story. And it's so funny because you asked me to have kind of a Bible story ready, and I told this story to my wife right before we came, and she was just like, is that actually funny, or is that just super weird?
No, I have it.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, I definitely have it circled as a funny one. I was trying to think when you mentioned. I do think we did a podcast on it, but I can't get enough of it. It also like kicks off, if I'm remembering right, or it's early in Judges, which sets the tone for a series of some of just the most out there crazy stories you could imagine to hear. Like, I did Samson a couple episodes ago, and it's just like there's details in there that are so curious. And like you say, like the question of why are these details even in here? Like,
I know.
It's fascinating.
The other thing that I always found interesting, somebody said this to me one time, and now I'm grown and I can't get it out of my head. Somebody talked to me about when Jesus heals the blind man, it says he spits in the dirt and then he rubs the like mixture of spit and dirt over the man's eyes to heal him. So somebody said to me, he said, have you ever wondered, like, how much spit does it take to get enough, like, dry dirt to turn into mud to cover a man's eyes? They're like, Jesus must have had some holy, like, piece of him that was able to make him, like, salivate so much that he spit. And they maybe like, what on earth? Like, I just never thought about that. And I don't know why that's always stuck out in my head. But, like, how much did he have to spit to get mud to cover enough mud to cover eyeballs? Because I think when I spit, I like to think I can do like a manly like spit and get a lot of it on the ground, but it's always like that little like piddle of like, and I'm like,
standard amount, yeah.
Exactly. But when you think about how dry that area is and that mm-hmm. sort of thing, I'm like, mm-hmm. how did he get that much spit?
That's
someone said that
question.
To me one time in youth group, and I was they asked that of the pastor, I think is what it was. Like, how did he get that much spit in order to make enough mud to cover someone's eyes? I was like, what a weird, awesome question.
Yeah, it is. My thing with the eye healing, too, has always been, like, because there was the spit in the mud, and then they did that with eyes. There were some other instances where Jesus's like, spit was involved. And then there are these other stories of healing where they just touch the hem of Jesus's cloak. And I've always thought, I wonder if two of the blind people ran into each other and a blind person was like, oh, I just touched like the hem of his cloak. It was great. And the other guy is like, oh man, he like did this whole spit thing with my...
Exactly. You know he had to rub slobber all over my face to get me seeing again.
I can see and I love that and I'm really thankful, but I just am wondering now if I could have maybe just touched his shirt. That feels like that would have been maybe more hygienic.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, Eglon and Ehud really is a classic, timeless story. Yeah, it goes out of the way to say that he's fat. It goes out of the way to say that the dagger is completely wrapped up by him. And then you really nailed it on the head, though, with the guards. To me, that's the focal point of the whole story, is that he sends the king, actually, if I'm remembering right, is the one that sends those guards out and says, like, you guys got to go because I got to hear this secret message. And that has always been my big takeaway from that, is like, those were your real friends. Your real friends were the ones that are giving you ample time in the bathroom and aren't barging in ahead of time. They're letting you do your thing. And you sent your real friends away because you met this cool new friend who you didn't really know.
But they could have just written that, like, and then they came in and found him dead, but they had to say, like, no, they thought he was pooping. And then they waited until it was too embarrassing. Because I think, like, the translation I read said they waited an embarrassing amount of time until it was, like, too embarrassing to still be waiting.
Right.
And it made me wonder, how long is that, too? Like, I feel like I'm a husband, and the whole thing is, like, when we go in the bathroom, we, like, live in there for a while. Like, to the point where our wives text
That's
us, like,
right.
you okay in there? And at what point would it take for my wife to come in to make sure I was okay? Like, what's that? What's the time stamp on that? 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
Right. There has to be a time that you can no longer account for this when someone's like, where is he? He's in the bathroom. How long has he been in there? 2 hours. I got to go check and see.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It has to be a time that you're like, I can't just say that out loud. I should get an update on this situation at this point. No, it's a fantastic story. I mean, I've often told people, it's hard for me not to say that Judges, I often say Judges is my favorite book of the Bible. And it's almost just because of how it's just story after story after story of like interesting, detail-filled stories of that time for the people of Israel. So that's a great story. You picked a great story. Thank you.
I feel like coming from you, that means a lot.
And I think it really sums up the story. We want you to lean into the story of the king who pooped himself when you're doing your devos. Don't lean away from that story. You know, everyone wants to go to the prodigal son. It's a great story.
Yep.
But don't forget to spend some time with the king who pooped himself. It's in there. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. This has been so fun. Maybe just quickly here as we wrap up, can you tell some people what's next? Where's Christians Who Curse Sometimes? Where is it going? What are you working on?
I mean, we're working on launching a fully loaded website, hopefully in the next few weeks. And I really want it to be a community effort. So I asked everybody who follows my page, like, if you want to write something, reach out to me. So we've got some really good articles. We're going to try to keep it, you know, updated, have new content every day on there. And then we're also going to start doing workshops where if you really want to learn on a certain topic or learn from an expert, we're going to start offering those monthly as well, where you can really take your faith to the next level.
That's awesome. You can follow along. It's at Christians Who Curse Sometimes. We'll put the link in the podcast info because it's a lot to spell. I understand that. So we'll put the link in the podcast info if you want to just click on that. But once again, Midwestern Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk again soon, I hope. Everybody out there listening, thank you so much for coming along on the podcast. Thank you so much for rating and reviewing wherever you listen to the podcast. That's so helpful to help get the word out about what we're doing here. And thank you to all of you sharing it with your friends. It's super encouraging. And I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. If you're not already, you can follow along at The Bible Is Funny on Instagram. Love to hear from you there. You can DM me there. And we'll be back again with another episode. We'll be back with another episode very soon. Thanks. The Bible.